Welcome to Torah Simcha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Foxbrenner, and today we will be learning Yeshayahu, chapter 59, Perek Nun Tes. This chapter revolves a quandary that we can all find familiar. According to most commentaries, this is an implied question, and that is, where is Hashem? His justice and fulfillment of promises don't seem clear in the world in which we live. According to Radak, Hashem is addressing a specific question asked in the last chapter, in 58, verse 3. Why am I fasting and you don't see? This is really a micro-formulation of the same question. We all do some, if not many, good deeds, and we want to see Hashem's response, but sometimes we don't. This will obviously not be a comfortable chapter for us, because Hashem will explain why it is that we don't see His presence in our lives. First, the Navi will explain what is not the cause. Hein lo katzra yad Hashem mehoshia. No, Hashem's arm is not too short to save. Nor is his ear too heavy to hear. The deficiency is definitely not in him. It is not because he can't save you, nor because he can't hear your cries for help. But your iniquities have been a barrier between you and your God. And your sins have hidden his face from hearing you. God's presence is infinite and constant. It is not He who changes, but us, and thus our connection to Him. Again, here the Nevi uses the concept of Hester Panim, of Hashem hiding His face. Hashem is pure goodness. There are times that His face is hidden due to our actions, and this is what brings destruction to the world. Ki chapechem negoalu vadam. For your palms are stained with blood, ve'etzbo'osechem be'avon, and your fingers with iniquity. Sifsosechem dibru sheker. Your lips speak falsehood. Leshonchem avla tege. Your tongues utter treachery. We want to know why Hashem is hiding His face. It is because He can't look at any part of us, because each part is stained with iniquity. This is something that we see a lot of in later prophets and in the sages and liturgy. In the positive sense, Hashem gave us different body parts, each to sanctify by using them to do good and fulfill commandments. But for everything that God created for the good, He created the same potential for evil. And therefore, we can choose to use all those limbs, designated for holiness, for sin instead. The logical conclusion is the previous verse. That creates a barrier between us and our Creator. He created us and gave us tools to come close to Him, and we use it for the exact opposite. Yeshayahu also calls out the leaders for not steering the people back on the proper path and not judging them properly. He compares the evil in the Jewish people's lives to snake in their eggs and to spider webs. Evil is like a snake because any connection to it will result in harm, going close to a live snake or even eating its eggs. And the way that evil makes inroads is like a venomous snake in an egg. It will repeatedly strike the shell until it finally breaks through. So too do evil thoughts repeatedly attack us until we finally break and commit sin. Evil is like a spider web because it looks so impressive and strong and ornate, but anyone with any experience or objectivity knows that it has no power to protect at all. But we fall for the shiny eggs and the ornate webs. And in verse 7, Raglehem la ra yarutsu, their feet run after evil. This brings to mind one of the list of sins that we recall when striking our chests on Yom Kippur. Ritzas raglayim lahara, the running of feet to evil. The commentaries tell us that God judges us not only for the sin itself, but the manner in which we do it. If we try to refrain and finally cave, that is one thing, still worthy of punishment, but mitigated. But someone who seizes the opportunity and runs to sin, this is another level. In this case, the Jewish people have become so accustomed to fulfilling their desires that when the opportunity comes to do so, they run without even considering if it is correct. Rav Dessler, in Michtav Me'Eliyahu, points out that someone who is used to constantly fulfilling his desires does not believe that he has a choice. He becomes so used to following instinct that he comes to believe that it rules over him. And therefore, Derech Shalom Lo Yada'u, they do not know the way of peace, Ve'in Mishpat B'Ma'aglosam, and there is no justice in their circuits. They have made it so they don't even encounter the reality of what is right. Nesivoseihem ikshulahem, they made their courses crooked. Kol derech ba lo yada shalom, no one who walks in them knows of integrity. And finally, we come to recognize, Al kein rachak mishpat mimenu. This is why justice is so distant from us. V'lo sasigenu tzedakah, and vindication does not reach us. We want Hashem to punish the nations of the world, and we are not wrong. They have persecuted us and perpetrated evil, and they deserve retribution. But do we behave with justice in our own lives? What right do we have to call on Him for the same? Mikaveh la'or v'hineh choshech. We hope for light, and there is darkness. Linhogos ba'afelos nahalech. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We are devastated by the unjust world and exile in which we live, but we fail to shine the same light on our own behavior. Nehemeh chadubim kulanu v'chayonim hagonege. We all growl like bears and then moan like doves. We have growled in the past, demanding that Hashem do justice with those who harm us. And then we moan like doves when we realize it was because we were undeserving. And here the Jewish people, in detail and poetically, describe how their sins have become plentiful and pushed Hashem away. Their fooling and cheating of others demonstrates that they don't believe that Hashem really knows what is going on and doesn't have the power to return what is right to each party. Horo v'hogo milev divrei shaker. Conceiving lies and uttering them with the throat. That which they spoke and uttered did not come from logic or belief, but from the heart, meaning they decided what they wanted and used their logic and intelligence to justify it. And therefore, v'husag achor mishpat utzdaka mirachok ta'amod, and so redress is turned back and vindication stays afar. The redress against others that we demand from Hashem is far away. Ki chashla v'rachov emes, because honesty stumbles in the street. We have gotten to the point when truth is not even acknowledged in public. When society is so immoral and ridicules real values, it is the honest good people who are put on the defensive and need to be silent in order not to incur mockery and wrath. Unechocha lo sucha lavo, and uprightness cannot enter. Society will not even allow an upright viewpoint into the mix. It is dismissed as offensive and strange. Vatihi ha'emes ne'ederes, the truth became lacking, v'sar meira mishtolel, and refraining from evil seemed foolish. Vayar Hashem v'yira b'einav ke'im mishpat, and Hashem saw and was displeased that there is no justice. Society has deteriorated to the point that people not only feel comfortable sinning to fulfill their desires, but now is a point of doctrine. As the Navi said, they built their logic around their desires and made new morals that would bolster their errant deeds. This has become so pervasive that those speaking truth and reality are ridiculed. It is no longer just physically expedient to sin, but societally it is perversely morally expedient as well. We asked why we were suffering, so now we know. But now that we have recognized what is wrong, Hashem wants to bring us back to Him. But, in verse 16, Vayar ki ein ish, he saw that there was no man, v'yishtomim ki ein mafgia, and he was shocked that there was no one to intervene. He wants to help us, but the nation does not have within it those who can lead it, and bring the Jewish people to a place that they deserve it themselves. Vatosha loz ro'o, v'tzid kaso, hi smachasu. Then his own arm brought salvation, and his own righteousness was his support. Hashem himself brings the salvation undeserved. He will take retribution on the nations of the world with great havoc and destruction. He will gather us all to the land of Israel from all directions. And then, in verse 20, Uval etzion goel, a redeemer will come to Tzion, the Mashiach, ulishave fesha b'Yakov, and those in Jacob who turn back from sin, Nu'um Hashem, says Hashem. Many commentaries point out that the sequence of events here seems out of order. The verses clearly describe the retribution against the nations of the world and the ingathering of the exiles before the coming of Mashiach. The commentaries explain that this is likely the way that history will unfold. Hashem will begin to cause destruction amongst the nations of the world, with them exacting punishment and destruction upon each other. This retribution that Hashem meets out to them will be for the purpose of showing us the hand of God, so that we will repent. And many, if not most of the Jewish people, will return to our land. But we will still not be redeemed, for the nations of the world will still have sovereignty over us, and we will even suffer attacks from them. and this will cause despair, as the Jewish people will wonder why God has deserted them again. And in regard to that time, which seems eerily familiar to our own, Hashem tells us, Va'ani zos brisi osam, amar Hashem. And as for me, this is my covenant with them, says Hashem. Ruchi asher alecha udvarai asher samti beficha. My spirit which is upon you, and the words which I have placed in your mouth, lo yamushu mipicha umipi zaracha umipi zera zaracha, will not be absent from your mouth, nor the mouth of your children, nor from the mouth of your children's children. Amar Hashem me'ata ve'ad olam, says Hashem, from now and forever. My covenant with them, both that the Torah will never be forgotten, and that the physical Redeemer, referenced in the last verse, will come, is eternal. Even when things seem bleak and the exile has been so long, and our hopes have been aroused and then crushed, my covenant with you is eternal, and you will survive and be redeemed. Thank you for learning together. Le'ilui Neshmas, Malka Esther, Bas Tzvi Yosef.